Rush Hour with Luke Bradnam.
The Goldies, 92.5 Triple M.
Welcome to the jungle.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us on The Catch-Up. Luke Bradnam, Cherie Everett with you. Big catch-up for you today. Spider, your husband, Cherie, wrote you a love letter. Worst love letter in the history of romance.
I don't even know if you could call it a love letter.
He's not going to get a job with Mills and Boone, put
no,
it that way.
He definitely is not.
Ivan from Married at First Sight joins us. The guys from the Indigenous All-Stars Rugby League side have done something really fantastic for a kid that was being bullied in our neck of the woods. We get into sex injuries on the show this afternoon, which is...
This is a very awkward topic.
Yeah. Funny, though.
Funny.
Very, yes. Very funny. Holden, going out of business, what does it mean for your Holden car? Is it going to increase or decrease in value? My missus has been sleep talking, and the top five songs in the country, you'll hear all of that, a whole heap more if you listen to this. It's The Catch-Up, and it's starting right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
I notice on Bridge and Spider's breakfast show here at Triple M, I think it was yesterday, they had John Ethan. he's not Jonathan, he's John Ethan, the Married at First Sight Gold Coast contestant.
Yes.
And I don't know how it all broke down, but they threw a challenge over to your husband Spider to write you a love letter.
Oh, yeah, they did. Well, I don't know why they keep doing this. Anyway. It didn't work out so well.
It's the worst love letter
ever.
It is,
because he's the most unaffectionate human ever. Look, at our wedding, he did a speech and it was nice, but someone else wrote it for him. And then,
what do you mean someone else wrote it for him?
Well, he got someone else to write the speech and then he just changed it to be my name and stuff. But that's right.
And he just read it.
His eldest daughter, Caitlin, she did the main speech.
But isn't it true that he's never bought you a present, or he's only bought you?
Yeah, but then in his defense, and that I think that's a waste of money.
Yeah, but so when it's your birthday or something, he doesn't buy you a Christmas present, doesn't buy you a birthday present.
Nah, buy my own stuff, and then say this is what you bought me.
And I didn't even know this about Spider, but Spider doesn't like being hugged.
Nope, he doesn't. Very unaffectionate, and I'm very affectionate.
And so
it was
out of his comfort zone, to say the least. That he was challenged to write you a love letter. I've just heard it off air. I'm chucking it out there. It's the worst love letter I've ever heard. And do you mind if we play it?
Sure, go for your life.
So here's the Spider. And he gave it the pretext that he was sitting in your living room looking out towards your pool.
Yes, he was sitting at the bar, thank you, drinking a beer, looking out to our pool.
And that's where he drew his inspiration from. Have a listen to it.
One pool toy in the pool. It reminds me of you. Hey, no, hang on, listen.
Are you serious?
Always on top of the water and never flat. Very colourful and cheerful. Always fun and reliable. Exciting and entertaining.
Peter?
Yes?
The pool toy is a rhinoceros that's wider than a Mack truck. It is the biggest pool toy ever. It is seriously like 8 feet wide. It's a rhinoceros.
Don't think of what it is. It's what it represents.
Is my bum that big?
No! Oh,
is there more? Is there more to the letter?
Yes. No! It's colourful and brightful.
Yeah, you've said
it's
that.
Cheerful and happy.
And brightful.
It's brightful. Oh, no. Cherie, did you expect anything more?
Oh, far out. And when you jump on it, it's really hard to ride too.
Best line was yours.
But it is. It's really, the weirdest looking rhinoceros, and you have to jump on it and hold on to the handles.
We've got to whack it up on our Instagram. Go to Rush Hour 925 on Instagram and check out the photo of the rhinoceros. It literally is a rhinoceros.
It is, yes.
The other insulting line in there that Spider had, and there was many to choose from, but the one that I felt was most insulting was the one where he went, "You're slightly entertaining."
No. I think he said, no. I think he said exciting and entertaining.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought he said slightly too, and I questioned him. He said, no, exciting and entertaining.
Okay. I thought, you know, you're slightly entertaining for a radio announcer. Now, that's the least romantic person
it's
I know.
Funny.
We want to open the phones up. We've got a cool prize. I thought that my brother-in-law, Robbo, was the least romantic person that I know. At his wedding to my sister, he made a speech. It went for 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
He spoke about everything. There's one thing he forgot to mention. Petter, my sister. Oh. In 15 minutes, he never once referenced his wife.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Last night on Married at First Sight, there were shenanigans all over the shop, mate. You just go, get a group of people, whack them in a room with alcohol and a couple of cameras, and there's sure to be drama unfold.
Especially when Michael's involved.
Oh, mate, that guy, there was a bloke on Married at First Sight last night. I think he's an absolute douchebag, but I also think he's television gold.
Oh, yeah, he's television gold.
And without
sure.
him, the show would be suffering majorly.
Well, until he started, it was actually quite boring.
So he went and stirred the pot and...
But he came on the screen and said, yeah, nah, the night's a bit quiet. He goes, might go out and stir the pot, and off he went.
And then all of a sudden there's tears, fights, you name it, and this guy's at the centre of it all.
Laughing.
But one guy that was quiet last night, which was surprising because I had this guy pegged to be the pot stirrer, but it looks like his missus has got him on a ball and chain,
yes.
is Ivan from Married at First Sight, and he joins us right now. G'day, mate. How are you?
How are you guys? Good afternoon. And you're very right about the ball and chain reference. She's definitely got me in the right place. She's got me behaving this week.
But
shenanigans, mate, that's Michael's middle name.
It is, but don't you think, aren't you glad afterwards that Alex has put you on the ball and chain, that after that whole shenanigans last night, aren't you glad you weren't involved in it?
Oh, absolutely. We walked out of there smiling hand in hand. It was, you know, for us, and I've said this to a couple of different people today, it's a really testing scenario, those dinner parties, because, you know, you get one or two characters like Michael that's willing to, you know, stir the pot and call people out and just create drama. It's not your typical dinner setting that you go to when you're in a loving relationship.
Yeah,
you know?
But do the producers pull you aside? Because unless that sort of thing happens, it's going to be boring television. So do the producers
Honestly, do the producers
pull you aside and say, go and make something happen, mate? Does that happen at all?
Honestly, no.
Right.
Like, No, that might have happened once, just going, oh, come on, just call that person out on what you heard the other day, you know. But honestly, there's that much going on in everybody else's relationship. Like I said, your typical dinner party in a couple would be myself and Alex, for example, going out with already established couples or friends that we know and are familiar with. The reality of it is we're going out with 24 strangers, whatever it is, right? That are all going through their own problems and are so open and willing to talk about it, it's going to create a volcano effect, you know?
And, mate,
that's what happens.
We get it, edited down to an hour and a half of television. In reality,
absolutely.
How long was that night last night in the filming of it?
It would have, you know, there's been some ridiculous quotes. It'd probably be 4 or 5 hour night.
Oh, that's a big drinking session.
Right. So everyone's off their chops.
There's RSA there. They do have RSA people there and counting our drinks and all that sort of stuff.
Really?
Oh, mate, Michael would have had a hip flask in his top pocket.
Yeah, but the RSA are different to usual. The RSA are there going, hey, mate, you're not pulling your weight. Drink up.
Drink up.
Drink more. I wish, mate.
I want to know, at the end of the experiment, is there at least one success story?
Absolutely.
Oh, good.
Yeah, there's one. they bring back the couple that got married last year. Hey, good on you, Ivan. Good on you, mate. Enjoying your time
Thanks,
on the TV.
Mate.
See you, brother. There
Thanks
he goes.
Thanks for having me. Cheers, mate. Bye.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Big day.
Massive day.
And we've got to say well done to a certain group of people.
Big well done. So obviously, I mean, a lot of people would have already seen this. A young boy just north of the Gold Coast is involved in a horrific bullying incident. He's been bullied for many, many years at school. It is sickening.
Is he a young Indigenous guy?
Yes.
He's only 9 years of age?
9 years old, yeah.
And I haven't seen the video, but Cherie...
I had to turn it off. It's so heartbreaking.
So the kid gets picked up from school.
Yeah, his mum picks him up from school and he has just had enough. He's been putting up with it for years and he's had enough. And it's cruel. And the thing is, the mum is at the end of her tether because the school can't do anything.
But
the school's hands are tied when it comes to bullying.
So the video was of the state that he was in, having been bullied at school, getting picked up from his mum.
Yeah.
Now just, I know this is school pickup time at the moment. Imagine how heartbreaking it is as a parent. So you just instinctively want to protect your kids from any pain in this world. You know you can't protect them from everything. But imagine the pain of picking up your kid from school, knowing they've been bullied. And this kid's is in a real state because the bullies have had their way with him. And she videoed it, and you couldn't even stomach to watch it.
Couldn't watch it.
It was too heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. It is. And I'm very protective of Boston. And there's been the odd time I've taken matters into my own hands.
I bet you have.
But I felt like I have to. Like, I seriously feel like I have to. But it's fantastic. So the NRL All-Star Boys here on the Gold Coast have stepped up, and they have stepped in, and they're going to help him out. It's just amazing.
So what has happened? This is a young Indigenous kid. He's only 9 years of age, and he's got a few problems in life. And the Indigenous All-Star team obviously saw the video that you did, Cherie.
Yes.
And they've gone, let's do something for this young fella. And they got together as a team and on social media chucked an invite out for him to lead the team out onto Cbus Super Stadium on Saturday night for the NRL All-Star game. It's unreal.
It is absolutely fantastic.
Have a listen.
Hey, Quaddy, how you going, guys? Just want to wish you all the best, brother. We know you're going for a hard time right now, but the boys are here. We've got your back. We're here to support you, bud. And we just want to make sure that you're doing all right and make sure that your mum's on your side, we're on your side. And just make sure you're just thinking the right things, bud, because we want you around. We want you to lead us out on the weekend. And it's going to mean more to us than it will to you, bud. So just make sure you're looking after yourself, and hopefully we're going to see you in the next couple of days.
Yeah, brother.
Oh, that makes me cry. It's so good.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I feel like going and finding that little boy and just picking him up.
And I'll tell you what, the media jump on as soon as a rugby league player or AFL player put a foot out of line. I hope they jump on board.
Oh, 100%.
When these boys are doing something good for the community. That is great stuff.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
There's been such funny shenanigans going on in the office here at Triple M over the past couple of days, because what happened was yesterday I got an email to a Christmas party. A
belated one. They didn't want you to go.
Yesterday, a few of us got an invite to a Christmas party, which is happening December 5th. Okay. Now, what happened for me, Cherie? I get this invite. It says, are you free December 5 for the such and such Christmas party? And I get it and I look at it, and I actually went to the Christmas party
last year.
Is it the racetrack? And so I thought, someone's sent the Christmas party invite from last year to me for some reason. And I just deleted it because I just figured, it's an invite. They've resent the invite for the party I went to last year. It's February. And then the next thing I know, someone had responded to it. It turns out it's an actual invite to a Christmas party already.
Good planning ahead.
February the whatever? The 20th? 19th it was yesterday. The 19th of February, I got a Christmas party invite yesterday.
Well, I like that because it's planning.
Anyway, so one of the guys responded to the Christmas party invite and went, sure, I can make it. Have you got anything I could put in my diary for 2023? I thought it was hilarious. And so then I've walked in, I've come up to the person that wrote the, hey, have you got anything I can diaritize for 2023? And I went, oh, that's so funny, because I was just about to put a reply. I go, I'm going to reply, what time's the Christmas party? I need to know I've got the plumber coming around in the morning, right? As if I'm Mr. Super Organized.
Super Organized.
And he goes, don't do it. Don't do it.
But you did.
No, he said, don't do it. He said, they're just getting on top of things and they're actually being super organized. And all of us unorganized on-air radio announcers are not used to being this far forward in our planning.
But I got the invite late today, so therefore I was an afterthought. So I've come in 24 hours later. Maybe someone RSVP'd and said they couldn't go.
Cherie, I don't think when you're getting invited to a Christmas party on February 20, you can claim to be an afterthought. I really don't.
I'm all on this. Oh. I am fully organised. I'm always halfway through 2021 already in my planning.
It amazes me how organised some people are. And I strive to be that organised, but
you've seen the size of my diary. I'm very well organised.
It's more power to you, whoever is organising this Christmas party. I think it's fantastic.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Last night on Married at First Sight, there was a dude who got shamed for his performance in The Sack.
That was bad by her.
I really think it was too. So if you missed
really
it,
really bad.
If this this couple, you know, been intimate, and then the girl went and told all of the people, oh yeah, he doesn't last long. He's 10-second Pete, this guy. And
that's just nasty. That is, you know, mind the pun, but that is below the belt.
And then she said, oh, not only that, he pulled a leg muscle or something. He had a cramp as well. He got a cramp in his leg.
When I heard that, I thought he said I pulled a crab.
No,
I'm
cramp.
Like, what's a crab? Like what?
You got a cramp.
You got a cramp.
And anyway, this kid Mikey has come out and defended himself today on radio, and he said, you know what? I didn't even have a cramp. The bottom line was I wasn't into this chick. I didn't like her, and to just get out of having to be intimate with her, I feigned an injury. That's what he said.
Great comeback. Good on you, Mikey.
He said, because I don't like her. So I pretended I had a cramp.
Yeah, well, that's a good payback. She started it.
I do it at swimming, Cherie. I'm not proud.
So you don't have to swim?
I do. Sometimes I'm not proud of this, but I swear to God it's true. I have, on more than one occasion, not recently, but within the last year, I have feigned a calf cramp so that I don't have to finish the set.
Are you serious?
Just so that I get a break.
But you're only cheating yourself.
I know that. Oh. I am so. I am so. But it is funny. Like, I'm trying to think if I've actually ever injured myself while I was going for it. Have you?
I get cramps.
Do you really?
Yeah.
But have you ever had an injury from it?
I don't think so.
Because if someone ever got an injury, I think I'd applaud them. I think I would.
I mean, I think I've fallen off the bed plenty of times, but it's not really an injury. Bump on the head.
Oh, yeah, it is.
getting caught in the fan? No, just kidding.
What are you? Falling off the chandelier I was dangling upside down from?
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
I'm a bit perplexed with regards to Holden, Cherie.
Well, same, because I can't. Obviously, they need to get rid of all their stock.
Well, do they? Because this is where I'm perplexed. One hand, I keep reading, oh, go buy a Holden because they're going to go skyrocketing in value because
that's
they're going to be.
I would think
they're going to be collectibles.
Yes.
And then was it you telling me that they're going to be a big sale on Holdens because
massive discounts?
There's going to be these massive discounts, and you're going to be able to get like these Holdens for next to nothing because they've got to get rid of them.
See, I thought the demand would be through the roof because it's the end of an era, and people would want to go and buy one.
Well, let's find out what's happening in the marketplace, shall we?
Yes.
Wade von Bribra, who is a legend of the Gold Coast motoring industry, is joining us right now. G'day, Wade. How are you, mate?
Yeah, really good, thanks. Like,
mate, what is the go? Like, we're hearing two different things around the place, that Holdens are going to go up and you need to buy one, and the other one is that they're going to be worth nothing. So, you know, they're going to be next to giving them away. What do you know?
Well, look, I think it's interesting, right? There's not too many times that a manufacturer pulls out of vehicles in Australia, so it's all new for all of us, and we're sort of trying to work it out as we go along. But what I can tell you is that we're on a phone conference with Holden yesterday, and they've released all of these bonuses.
And then, is it true also too that if you do buy a brand new car now, that they will honour the 5, 3, 5, 7 year warranties on them?
So they've committed. GM have committed that the parts and service side of the business will remain for at least another 10 years. So,
well,
that means that all of these vehicles are going to be sold with at least a 5-year warranty. And so any customers that are out there that are in a Holden at the moment, all of their warranty obligations, you know, will be fulfilled. If there's any recalls, they'll be looked after. If there's any free servicing that they might have had with the deal that they got on their new Holden, that'll all be withheld. That'll be upheld and done as well.
And Wade, have you noticed either since this news broke, and obviously it was massive news, taking everybody by shock and surprise, but have you noticed either an increase or decrease in sales calls or just interest since the news broke earlier in the week?
Yeah, absolutely, Luke. So today, with the pricing that was really just released last night, we got all of our bonuses and things sorted last night, and both of my dealerships at Robina and Southport are getting absolutely inundated with inquiry
right?
at the moment.
Yeah.
So they are.
What are you going to do, mate? Have you worked out what you're going to get into once the Holden deal is over?
So naturally, we only found out on Monday. We found out literally. And probably 2 minutes afterwards, the whole of Australia knew. So
really? We're
working that out. I mean, we're lucky in a sense that we represent 10 other brands.
Yeah, right.
We've got
yeah.
four locations around the coast, so we can absorb it a lot better than most. But yeah, we've got some big lumps of real estate that we need to work out what we can do over the next few days, weeks, and months as we move ahead.
Yeah. Honestly, mate, it was sad news for, you know, just us as your regular punters, you know, and losing an Aussie icon. But when you hear about guys like yourself and all the people that work for you guys, and it's going to affect them on a real basis, mate, we're thinking of you guys, and all the best as you make your way through this time and to work out where you go to from here.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
I'm just reaching for my phone here, Cherie, simply because I had a very weird thing happen over the weekend.
Yes.
My girlfriend sleep talks.
Oh, did the secrets come out?
Well, I don't know. She speaks gibberish for the most part.
Oh, have you ever tried to have a conversation? Pete did it once and I didn't realise he was asleep.
Right.
And we were actually having like a partial conversation. Then he stopped making sense. I'm like, what are you doing?
You're reading a page from my book. This is my life. So early on in our relationship, she said some, I don't even want to get into it, but she said some stuff in her sleep, which worried the out of me.
Really?
Yeah. And so, like, so much so, I left the bedroom and, like, a little Sook went and slept on the couch.
She didn't even
know.
Lou.
She didn't even know what she had said. She was sleeping.
So did you take it to heart?
Yeah, it was just weird. It was, I was like, what the hell's going on in her head, right? And so and then what happened was she sporadically sleep talks, but 99 times out of 100, it's complete and utter gibberish.
Yes.
Right? And it's weird because it's like she's awake. Like sometimes her eyes are even open.
Oh, really?
But
oh,
she
scary.
Has no recollection of what she's saying and she has no idea what she's saying. And then,
that's what she tells you.
and the other night, I actually went, I've got to write this down. And I'm going to read it verbatim, what she said in the middle of the night.
We'll try and work out what the dream was.
In the middle of the night. So I've gone downstairs. She's been sleeping. It was Saturday night. And she says, this is verbatim. I wrote it down. That's what it was. It was nine liquor other girls.
Oh! Okay. Well, she means she swings both ways. It's okay.
I think she meant nine other girls, but that's how it came out. And I'm like, and then, but look, it just comes out. Like I'm watching a movie and then all of a sudden she comes out with that and I look and I go, oh, she's sleep talking. Because I'm like, what are you?
That is hilarious.
What are you, sometimes I reply, I'm like, what are you? Oh, no, she's sleep talking. She's sleep talking.
And so in the morning, do you go, what did you dream about?
Yeah, we try and work it all out. And then the same night, maybe an hour later, I'm still watching my movie. She says something along, I didn't write this down, so this isn't going to be verbatim. But she turns around and she says, she's got weird lips. She's got weird lips.
So this is what.
But I think no. It wasn't that. What she said was, she somehow her mum was in it. She goes, mum, I think she's had her lips done, right? And what had happened?
Oh my God, poor Lauren.
What had happened was she'd been somewhere like a week earlier, where you know how those girls get the collagen into their lips,
yuck,
and she had been talking about that earlier in the night and that was playing on her mind and in her dream she was telling her mum about it.
Oh, this is priceless. Poor Lauren.
What happened with Spider? Has he done something like that?
Well, he would just say random things like, oh, I told you to move it. And I'm like, move what? Oh, come on, stop playing games. I'm not playing games. Tell me, what am I moving? What am I doing? So like two or three sentences that gel.
Yeah.
And then he'll just go off with, well, the car's over there. And I'm like, what is he on about?
And then you realise he's sleeping.
Yes.
Isn't it weird?
It's very, very strange. Boston does it too. Boston used to sleepwalk as well.
I've done that.
Oh, yeah. That, it's scary because he'd wake up and he'd just be right in my face.
Oh, it's the freakiest thing. It's funny, but it's sort of freaky. I did
it's
wake up. First, I wrote it down. And first thing Sunday morning, I woke her up and I went, tell me about the nine other girls. And she goes, I can't remember. And I said, well, make something up.
Make something up.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
So we're about to rack off out of here for the night. But being a Thursday, we have to cover off on the top five songs in the country. And
yes,
to do that, Triple M's music guru, AV, joining us right now.
Afternoon, team.
Hey, word around the campfire is you've got to get out of here early because you've got a plane to catch. What junket? I mean, what business trip are you doing?
Yeah. Secret men's business.
What famous celebrities are you going to meet?
No. I'll reveal all come Facebook time.
Where are you off to, mate? Sydney or Melbourne?
Down to Sydney.
Are you? And is it a record company junket or is this a radio station one?
Radio station. Actually going to work out of a head office there at Triple M in Sydney.
How long?
Yeah. He's going to turn up at midday tomorrow when he gets home. All right, top five songs in the country. Let's do it.
Now it's time for top five.
By the way, if you've got any comments you'd like to play about our or say about our music here at Triple M, then AV's the man to hit up. What's your personal email, AV?
Andrew.Verry@sca.com.au.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people think that we select the music, Cherie.
We don't. I wish we did.
Yes, he picks it all. Good stuff too, mate. I've been enjoying the mix lately. What do you got for us, mate? What's top five songs in the country?
New entry this week. This lady was actually just down the road at Falls Festival in Byron for New Year's Eve. We're talking Halsey, You Should Be So Sad.
What's this chick's go? Is she an Aussie or is she overseas?
Overseas.
Is she?
She's actually done a couple of trips to Australia. She was here for the Arias and performed live there.
Her name's Halsey.
Halsey.
Is that her surname?
I don't know.
She's like Madonna.
Yeah.
Do you reckon Halsey should be playing like, should have been one of Spider's teammates back in the day? not a music artist. I haven't had a good listen,
not
but I've got to say, from this little sample, it's a thumbs down from me. Doesn't really grab you, does it?
At number four, the AFL footy anthem, we're talking Our Boys, Birds of Tokyo, Two of Us.
What do you mean this is the AFL anthem?
For the promo for the AFL this year on Channel 7, this is the theme song.
It's a great song, but not for AFL.
I've got to tell you, you sold me on it last week that this had some Gold Coast connection somehow. I mean, this is their weakest song ever, I've got to say. It's a big thumbs down from me. I love Birds
you know,
of Tokyo.
It's a great song, but it should be played at funerals or something.
You think so?
That's why, yeah. It's a beautiful song, but it's not...
What happened to Up There Kazali or something for the AFL?
At number three, this lad's getting a bit of a reputation for being a bit of a larrikin. His name's Lewis Capaldi, picked up 2 Brit Awards, and his brand new song, Before You Go, pulling up at number 3.
Oh, yes.
Good song. Good voice, man. I wish I could sing like this.
I sing like that at the traffic light.
Do you?
With the window down.
In the shower, I think I sound like this, but...
No, I do mine in the car where everyone can hear.
No, that makes me feel that song. I like it.
She's back, Billie Eilish, with the theme song to the new James Bond movie, No Time to Die, number 2.
Oh, it's awful.
That is awful.
It's painful to listen to.
She doesn't even sound like she's in tune. No, thank you. Sorry, Billy.
And for its 4th week running, The Weeknd with Blinding Lights.
Yeah, I like this.
Number 1.
Good song.
I don't know. It's growing on me. Put it that way.
No.
Growing on me.
That's mole you're talking about. I'm all intrigued as to where AV could be off to, mate.
Yeah, come on. Let us in on the secrets.
I'll tell you next week.
Yeah, okay. Oh. We're all on tender hooks.
Yes.
I'm off to the Gold Coast Philharmonic Orchestra. That's what I'm up to tonight.
And I am going to, and of course, only me that would do this, Australia versus New Zealand, the basketball.
Well, you're off to the basketball tonight?
Yeah, hair, ringside seat, straight behind the players.
Where are they playing?
Little does Spider and Boston know that we are straight behind the New Zealand bench, and I'm wearing black, and I packed Boston's bag. Darling, if you're listening right now, you've got black clothes.
Hey, hang on a second. You're living in this country. You're living in this country.
I pay my taxes.
And you pay your taxes for this country.
Yep.
If New Zealand, and you're cheering for New Zealand.
Oh, hell yes.
Cherie, if it's that good, if it's that good, what am I going to say?
Pete tells me every day.
Go back there if it's that good.
Go back to where you came from.
If you're living in this country, you should be cheering for the Australian
side. Come on, the Australian-New Zealand rivalry is so good. And you guys are such sooks that we love cranking you up.
Oh,
so
these Kiwis that come over here, live here. You know what you do? You never talk bad about New Zealand. You cheer for New Zealand.
We don't pick on you guys. You'll
do anything for your country apart from live there.
I'm there 4 months of the year. Come on.
Hey, where is it? Where's the basketball tonight?
Just in Nathan, south of Brisbane. I've never been there before at the big netball arena.
Oh, okay.
Nathan, right. I'm pretty sure the suburb's called Nathan. Oh. An hour from here, it's going to take me.
Well, have a good night.
Yes.
Whatever you're up to, make sure you have a good one. We'll be back tomorrow afternoon from 3 for your local drive home. Cop you then.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.